This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by David Thibodeau, one of the leaders of Wellvest. He's going to tell us about Wellvest, where the priorities are, what they're doing today, and what he's most focused on this year. David, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you, Scott, for having me on your show. Excited to be here. Wellvest is an independent sponsor focused exclusively on the health and wellness sector. And the health and wellness sector is a place that I have played for some 30 years as an entrepreneur, operator, advisor, consultant, investment banker, and now an investor. It is an industry that has developed significantly over those 30 years to now being pretty much top of mind for almost everybody, not only in the United States, but kind of worldwide, given the effects of the pandemic and how that heightened everybody's focus on their health. Our companies are really consumer companies that deal with organic and natural food, beverages, personal care products, functional foods and beverages, vitamin minerals and supplements, and healthcare and technology. Everything but pharmaceutical, biotech, or medical devices. So think about it as products that help you live a healthier lifestyle. And we're very excited.
Let me ask you a question about you've built a tremendous sort of following in what you do. I remember having a chance to visit with you a few months back. There is this tremendous explosion of sort of these nutrition drinks. Can you tell us a little bit about that category and what you see there?
Certainly. They span the globe of products. And we call them really functional beverages because they're created to elicit a certain function in your body. So they're drinks that help rehydrate you. So putting the proper amounts of electrolytes in your body after exercise or long workouts, et cetera. So that's one class. Another class is protein drinks, and protein has been kind of top of mind for a lot of consumers over the last 5+ years. So it's an easy way, a very bioavailable way to get protein, have a meal replacement, improve hydration.
And when you look at these companies, how do you decide whether they've got a chance or not? And you've worked with some great brands. I see you've worked with like the Zone people, the Zone company, just got all the Zone brands, just magnificent, like Eating in the Zone and so forth, and a lot of other great brands. How do you decide when you're looking at a company, what its prospects are? How do you look at that and say, yes, this person's found a good drink company. They've got the gumption. They've got the idea. They can start to get it distributed versus not.
The first thing we look at is what differentiates the product from other similar products on the market. Does it have an unmatchable claim? Is there something about that product, ingredients, form factor, packaging, that really, really differentiate it from the competition? That's the first thing we look at. If it's a Me Too product that is competing for slot number 5, 6, or 7, it's really challenging for that company to grow and to be of size. So that's really the first thing we look at. And then, of course, we look at management. And management is critical in each and every one of these companies because they actually drive the business. And they have to have their own drive, their own passion, knowledgeable in order to not only sell it to retailers, sell it online, but also be sure they can market the product properly. So those are a couple of the things we look for. On the financial side, margins. Do they have the right gross profit margins within their cost structure in order to support a product over the long term? And that's oftentimes where we run into problems when we're looking at companies, is the lack of a strong enough gross profit margin.
Fascinating. So we have a colleague who founded a fantastic company, made a fortune, you know, at TA Associates, and these other people all invest in it. They did just great. Now he's investing like 50 different wellness brands of different sorts. He's always pitched every day on some kind of Nutra something product. And he's small investments each. What advice do you give to somebody like that who's trying to make investments in this space? And he's just splattered a ton of different dollars out there, not necessarily huge dollars each. But what advice do you give to somebody looking at these kinds of things?
If you're investing across a number of companies, putting, you know, fairly small dollars to work in earlier stage companies, it's a venture approach where you're going to have one or two of them really succeed. You're going to have a handful of them that do okay, and you'll have quite a few of them that don't do well. Remember, 90% of new products that are launched each year fail. So you don't hear about those failures. You really only hear about the success. And that's an ugly fact about the consumer products industry, that it's important to understand, eyes wide open, when you're going into earlier stage deals in this space.
And are you looking more at seed stage stuff, early stage stuff, or more stuff that's already got revenues and profits and so forth? What are you typically coming in as an investor or advisor?
Well, that's a really good question, and one that my partners remind me of daily, because, of course, being an entrepreneur at heart, what do I like to do? Work with the small, up-and-coming, exciting companies. What do my partners like me to work on? Companies that have some size, that we can actually get funded, that we can add value to in terms of growing the company and ultimately positioning it for sale. So our companies that we invest in are generally a bit later stage. They have good revenues. They may have a EBITDA that's under pressure because of promotional spending or growth investments, but they do have a good gross margin and they have the financial metrics to be able to drive an EBITDA.
Right. So they're already little. I mean, at the end of the day, one's a higher risk approach, the earlier stage, but it's fun and you hope you get something big, but sometimes it doesn't pay off. And I see plenty of guys that do it great. It's plenty of guys that struggle with their whole lives. And then the next level up is sort of closer to the private equity side, where you're investing in companies with EBITDA that are already moving in the right direction, that are a little bit less fragile, and it's not as binary an outcome.
Correct. That is correct. So it's just from our capital partner perspective, our capital partners are generally not looking to invest in high risk early stage companies. So a lot of it's driven by, you know, what the needs of capital partners are. And so we have to fit it into that mold as well.
100%. I mean, your investors are either VC investors or they're PE investors, whatever the risk tolerance is and what they're looking at. And so absolutely. What's the most exciting thing that you see right now in sort of this wellness space? What are you most excited about?
Oh, you know what I have to say? I'm just finishing up our first conference that I've been to in 18 months out here in La Costa, California. And it's 250 of the nutrition industry's leaders. And it not only is exciting being back together again, but where this sector is going is just exciting, because there are so many things going on around nutrition and becoming healthier. So there are significant issues in the U.S. today. A lot of it revolves around metabolic disease. And so there are a plethora of products that are being developed and new research being done around things that will help keep you healthier. And it does take work on the individual's part. So it's a two-way street. You have to commit to living a healthier lifestyle, but there are a lot of tools that can help you there. So new types of plant-based foods, nutritional supplements that help you, help your immunity system. So something as simple as vitamin D along with vitamin K2, really critical for your immune health. There are products and exciting growth opportunities across categories in our space today.
And when you're at a conference like that, is it just an explosion of ideas hitting you that you're thinking about? How do you sort of like filter through some of that and think through it? I mean, do you sort of bring yourself back to the categories you're most interested in? How do you do that while also keeping an open mind to some of the other things?
So this is a conference more of direction, of strategic direction, and thinking about how we can improve the industry, how we can improve operating within the industry. So this is more about the overall strategic direction of the nutrition industry. We have other conferences which there might be 3,000 different companies displaying their products, some of them new, some of them old. And that's where you're inundated with all kinds of new products that were cooked up in people's laboratories, cooked up in their kitchens. Big companies that are introducing new approaches to nutrition, new delivery systems. So, one of the most interesting things, I think, is some of the new delivery systems for nutritional products, whether it's supplements or functional beverages that that are not in pill form. So you actually are able to get a significant amount of your nutrients through taking a gel or a squeeze pack or mixing those immediately in some sort of beverage. And that gives you a bioavailability that's completely different than caps and tabs, capsules and tablets. So that is an area that we are spending a lot of time in. And we see and talk to people at this conference and at others about those types of products.
Fantastic. I mean, what a fascinating area. And you mentioned something earlier that so many of these things are great as long as you're also willing to put in, you know, some of the efforts of working out or exercise or eating well and so forth. I mean, wouldn't it be fantastic if you could just take a pill and you'd be Adonis-like and didn't have to work out or exercise or eat well? But that's not the case, is it?
That, unfortunately, as much as we'd all like it to be the case, you know, there are a lot of aspects in life like that, right? I want to be a better golfer. I want to be a better tennis player. It wouldn't be great if I could just do that. None of it comes without work.
How much money would you pay if you don't have to do anything? It could take 5 strokes off your handicap.
Oh gosh, I'm not sure that would take a dent in my handicap. No, just kidding. that's a good question, Scott. That's a really.
But it's
good
really
question.
A similar thing. We would all pay X amount of dollars, whatever that number is, to each person, if you didn't have to work and just magically became a better golfer or a better tennis player or a better skier or whatever it might be. You know, if you could pay the amount without having to put in the work, we'd like it. But it's similar to the nutraceuticals and everything else. They're a complement to what you're doing. You have to do it. And in any event, David, a pleasure to visit with you. What a fascinating approach you've got to business and life and what you've done. Just fantastic. I appreciate you joining the Scott Becker Private Equity Podcast so much again. Thank you very much for joining us.
You are most welcome, and it's been a delight.